There's their take. There's your take.
And this is our take.
Our Take with Jill Kasich and Stacey Slayton on the Horn.
Happy gloomy Saturday morning and welcome to the official USC pregame show. I'm just kidding. I had to throw that in. Welcome to Our Take. You're listening to Our Take here on the Horn.
Well, nobody's listening anymore.
I know
that
whole thing just threw me off. I had a great intro going, and I was going to throw a joke in there, and it derailed my thought train. So
that's just how the show works. We have plans, and then we never follow through.
Yes, that's the theme of the show every week. So at least we're consistent.
We are consistent. We're consistently up in the air. All the time.
Well, I'm Jill Kasich, joined by KVU's Stacey Slayton and our man Dylan behind the glass, running the show as always, keeping us on track as he can. We have a great show lined up for you, as we do every week. We're obviously going to get into to some college football. I think there might be a big game in Austin this week, but I'm not 100% sure. Alabama's taking on Ole Miss. TCU and Ohio State. That's going to be a good game. My Aztecs are taking on Arizona State, so I'm excited for that game. Who's Tech playing?
That's a good question.
And I should know that as well, and I don't.
LSU Auburn as well.
LSU Auburn. That'll be a good one. Yeah. So all around, we got some good games going on. Get us on the Specs text line. Let us know what game you are excited for today. 512-337-3776. You can also get us on all the social medias at This Is Our Take. We're streaming live on Instagram right now. So if you want to see the magic behind the scenes, tune in at This Is Our Take on Instagram.
And you can't forget Big 12, Boise State taking on Oklahoma State. So that's 17th ranked Boise State taking on number 24 in the Pokes. And so that kind of covers your important Big 12 games in terms of obviously the big one with TCU, Ohio State. And it brings me to this point. I saw a tweet earlier, I think from a guy from Dave Campbell's, who said the hottest ticket in town is at TCU, Ohio State or Texas, USC. I'm like, no, there is no contest. That's not even a question.
Texas USC, right?
That's not even a question. It's the primetime game, not Texas USC. It's Ohio State, yeah. TCU. Come on, that is the hottest ticket in town. Don't even give me that.
Yeah.
Interesting. I think this is going to be one of the most unpredictable games between Texas and USC.
Yes.
I just don't know where either of these teams stand.
Well, and neither program is as strong as they should be. And so you're looking at those two programs where it's a battle of two weak teams to see who's going to come out on top versus the Ohio State TCU game, which that's going to be a good game. I'm excited for that one.
It is going to be a really good one. If for those of you who care about the rest of the Big 12, Texas Tech is playing Houston, Kansas State playing UTSA, Baylor playing Duke. And everyone wants to know what Kansas is doing. They're playing Rutgers. And Oklahoma should be doing pretty well. That game just tipped off against Iowa State. They're playing at 11 a.m.
Okay.
Yeah.
I love morning football.
I do, too.
Morning kicks are my favorite. It's just,
I always like it because then you can, you know, you go to the game and then it's like you have the rest of the day to watch more football or tailgate and watch more football. I'm okay with the early morning games. Well, I say that now. When I was in college, I hated it. It was the worst. I could not wake up that early.
Oh my, it was the best. So I went to San Diego State, obviously, and so NFL would start at 10 a.m. on Sundays, and it was the best because you would just wake up hungover, you would just roll out of bed, roll onto the couch, and crack a beer and start your day. It was the best.
Wake over. That's a new thing.
I'm going with it.
Should have been coined like 10 years ago.
This is also even more embarrassing because my parents are in studio. They flew in for the SC game. So my parents are in studio, and they are now seeing the train wreck that is my life. So this is great. I can only imagine
they are insanely proud. I think you're selling yourself short, Jill.
Thanks, Stace. I appreciate it. We just got a text in, SMU at Michigan as well. Speaking of SMU, and we're going to do top or bottom on this subject, but have you seen SMU's chalice, their turnover chalice and crown?
So I haven't seen the chalice yet.
Yes,
no.
I would say it's a thing of beauty. I feel like they could have found a better chalice to promote. But theirs is one of my you said lesser favored
SMU
sideline props. But I have to give a shout out to Kennesaw State. They have a turnover plank. It is a piece of wood with a funny face drawn on it.
I
really
got to
fight for that.
Okay, you're going to have so many people Googling, which I am doing right now. A plank? Why?
Like a wood plank.
Yeah.
I don't
why?
Know. I didn't Walk do a ton of research behind it and look at the story behind it.
All right.
But I like it. It's, you know, apparently Boise State has a throne, and apparently they spent like $900 on it. So instead, Kennesaw State's like, look, we don't have $900 to throw at this throne. We're going to go to Home Depot and spend $350 and get a plank. And there they are. It's efficient.
You know, I still like the pimp cane, even though it didn't bode well for the Aggies.
Yeah.
I still am a fan of that. I like that. Because then you actually have to, like, go put yourself on display and do the pimp walk with your pimp cane and whatever that looks like. I don't know.
Got to get a message out there. Okay. Let's go into our don't do that's because I want to talk some football.
Dylan? It's not good. It's not. No. 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 Don't do it.
No! No! Don't f*** with me, all right?
Don't do it.
Oh, don't do it.
Don't you put that evil on me!
Okay, this goes out to, I think, the male population, because I feel like they're the biggest, what is the word I'm looking for? They're the
Choose
ones that...
your words wisely.
Yeah, I know. But they do this the most. Please do not leave a little bit left in the jar and put it back in the fridge of peanut, well, I guess peanut butter goes in the pantry, peanut butter, jelly, sriracha. Just use the last little bit and recycle the container. Do not leave a little bit. And then when I go in and I'm like, oh, I'm going to get out some grape jelly and there's like not enough left for toast in there. It's just irritating.
All right,
let me just
play devil's advocate here. I think in a guy's mind, maybe he's thinking, if I take all of the last bit, then she's going to be mad at me. And you're like, really? You had the last of it and you didn't leave me any? So I think in their way, even though they leave you like a dime size of jelly, they're like,
just finish
well,
it.
Well, look how thoughtful.
No.
And how your dad is shaking his head yes, because that's, I'm just speaking for the male population because we got to choose sides apparently. I'm just saying maybe that's where it comes from, but I do side with you on the fact that it's very frustrating.
It's just like...
Why?
Yes.
You know what's even better? Finish it out and go get a new jar.
Yes.
Replace it.
You can order it online now. Amazon Prime it. 2-hour shipping. There you go.
Hey,
done.
Hey, H-E-B is delivering for free right now.
Yes, they are. So, I don't know. That's probably one of my bigger pet peeves. Just don't do that. Use the rest of it.
All right.
That's all.
I like it. So we've got some kind of, now it's a tropical storm, Hurricane Florence coming into the East Coast, has already made landfall, and hopefully everything is, you know, I haven't followed up on the coverage too much, but one thing that happens every time we get a massive hurricane is these GIFs and these memes go around.
GIFs. Gosh,
it's
Stacey,
the GIFs. The
don't GIFs. Do that.
Don't, okay, let me finish my story. Of all of these reporters out there in the middle of the hurricane, just braving the weather.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a very embarrassing incident for one reporter out there just bracing. I mean, he is like in high winds and the rain is crazy and he is barely moving and he's almost sideways. And then two guys just leisurely stroll behind him wearing shorts, like they had a rain jacket or whatever. I mean, so don't make us TV people look so bad. That's just horrible. You look ridiculous. Don't fake it and be so
great
dramatic.
Acting.
Come on.
And the Oscar goes too.
And the thing is, that guy had no idea. And I wonder if, I'm sure he has seen since, because it's been going all over social media.
Gosh.
Just the theatrics of some of those hurricane reporters.
Yeah.
Honestly, I think it's so dumb that they put those people out there to begin with.
Oh.
We're telling everyone, get out, get out, get out. And then, we're going to go in the eye of the storm. It makes zero sense.
Well, I like how now you know that it's a serious storm and, like, you need to leave town when Chris, what's his name from the Weather Channel, shows up. Oh, my gosh. There's the storm reporter for the Weather Channel.
I only watch Albert Ramon of KVU News.
Well, there's a good plug for you.
This is my dude.
But yes, there's this reporter with the Weather Channel. It's like when he shows up to your town, you know, it's time to get
you better
out.
Get out.
Yeah.
And I also don't understand people who decide to ride out storms. I mean, what's the thought behind that? Don't you? What, I'm just going to try my luck.
Yeah,
I feel like I wouldn't mess with Mother Nature.
Yeah, I don't know.
Just a random thought. We can move on to more important topics.
All right. Well, let's move on to more important topics because we do have a big game for both of these programs going on in Austin today. USC against your Longhorns today, 7:30.
I was you caught me reading text.
We had actually talked a lot about this off air, and with my parents being in town, we've been breaking down the game the last few days, and there are a ton of SC fans in town. My parents flew in Thursday, and they said on their flight there were a bunch of fans. When I went to pick them up at the airport, there was a ton of USC fans, and just being out, you know, someone in our group's been wearing an SC shirt or hat or something everywhere. And we've gotten so many comments on how many fans are here, which is great.
Well, and also kind of an example of that, your dad already feeling right at home, felt like he was back in his place in California.
My gosh, this is mortifying.
As we were driving in, you know, I'll let you tell the story because he's your dad and it was amazing.
This is so embarrassing and I'm going to shame him. Jim Cantore is the reporter for the Weather Channel.
Okay,
Thank you, five people who just texted that in. So we're driving into the studio this morning, and you know we're going to go tailgating after the show, before the game, and we were driving down the 35 frontage road, and my dad goes, "Oh yeah, look, people are already out tailgating. This is great." And I had to inform him that no, people were not tailgating; that it was a gathering of homeless people getting meals or a church service or something that they do under 35. And he goes, "Oh, all right, fight on." And just leaves
it. It was an amazing moment. You're like, "No, Dad, that's the homeless people." But hey, homeless people should be tailgating too. That's where it's all the food's there.
Yeah.
They can get a cold one.
Yeah.
So, talk some football.
But we will be tailgating. But it was just one of those funny moments. I was like, well, welcome to Austin.
Mm-hmm. Very true. Oh, we do have a text in. Tulane has turnover beads that look like Christmas ornaments. Oh,
which is fitting, New Orleans.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, keep sending in your favorite sideline props. We got another clarification on the turnover plank at Kennesaw State. It could be an ode to Ed, Edd n Eddy, the throwback cartoon show from the 90s to early 2000s.
Did you tease our top or bottom?
I did. I did a whole segment on it.
Did you really?
Yeah.
All right. Way to
pay attention, Stacey.
Okay.
Welcome to the show, Stacey.
Again, guys, text in if you have any other ones that you want to go on the list that Jill already told you about.
We just got another text in, too. Go Canelo. After the UT game tonight, I don't know what time the fight's starting, but it is Canelo and Triple G, so that'll be a good fight. I will be watching that after the SC victory.
You and your fights. I would just like to see you get in the ring.
I would talk a big game and then I'd get in the ring and probably spend the whole time running away.
Actually, I do believe that. I will take your word for that.
That's my trash talk there. All right, so SC, UT, we're going to break that down after we take a quick break. You're listening to Our Take on the Horn. Had a close call there. I was scarfing down my breakfast taco during the break, and we came
just
back a little quick there. Yeah, just chowing down. You can see the whole thing on our Instagram Live right now at This Is Our Take. We are streaming there, so if you want to see a little bit of what goes on behind the scenes, tune in. Otherwise, we got a big game going on. We talked about it in the first segment, but didn't really talk about it. So let's get into to USC UT. Again, not the biggest game in the state today. That title goes to TCU and Ohio State.
Yes.
But a big game for both programs.
Yes, it is a big game. I think this is one of the strangest matchups between these two teams, though, because as much as you want to look at the history of Texas and the history of USC, just in terms of their own programs, these teams are so... No one knows what is going on.
Yeah.
People can't figure out what's going on with Texas. USC is clearly not the same team that they were last year. Mm-hmm. JT Daniels still needing to prove himself. You got a true freshman quarterback, of course. But
not only a true freshman quarterback, a kid who should be in high
17.
School right now. Yeah.
It is very crazy. As we were talking on the drive into the show, when I think about you, people are like, what are your predictions? I honestly have no idea what we're going to see. I have no idea. And yes, Texas is favored. I think that it's a 3.5-point favorite right now. And maybe that's home field advantage. And it may come down to home field advantage. I have no idea what we're going to see. If this is still the Texas team that we think they are in terms of they're the same team that we saw last year. They tend to play to their competition. They're going to play up to better teams, mm-hmm. hopefully. And, you know, unfortunately, it looks like they play down to lesser opponents. But we don't really know if USC is a more less opponent at this point. So I'm very curious to see what's going to happen. I think Texas really needs to come out with the fast start that we saw against Tulsa. Mm-hmm. They did close it out, but again, it was Tulsa, so I don't know. You can look at that however you want to. They need to put together a complete game. This is the biggest test of the season so far, and I think it's up in the air, to be totally honest. I think it's totally up in the air.
Yeah, no, I agree. And obviously, I'm pulling for SC. I have my SC shirt on today, but I don't have confidence that they're going to win this game.
USC?
Yeah. I'm rooting for them. I want them to win. But it is a complete toss-up. And I think, you know, Colonel Flowers was in here before, and I heard him as he was walking out saying he thinks the game's going to go to overtime. And
like
I see
year.
That. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I could see that happening again. It's just these are two teams that are still trying to figure out who they are and where they're at, and they both have holes. And it's going to be very interesting.
And that's the thing. The Longhorns are still trying to figure out their identity, especially. I mean, and Tom Herman was asked about that earlier this week. And he said, you know, there's a couple of questions, but one is the tempo. So they seem to do better when they have that up-tempo offense going. And so they're going to have to establish that right out of the gate. What are you smiling at?
We just got some funny texts in. We'll get to them in a minute, but reminder, you can join the conversation. Let us know your predictions for today's game. Do you think UT is going to pull this off? Where are you at, UT fans? Specs text line 512-337-3776. It's both teams need a victory here, right? I mean,
And Tom Herman still hasn't, they haven't gotten that signature win under Herman since he's been here. So this is kind of the opportunity. Again, I feel like it's still so early in the season that even if they do come away with a win, if it's a close one, if it's a sloppy one, it may not really give that feel of, oh, we beat. Because USC, people were like, we don't really know what this team is.
Yeah.
Got a lot of young people, apparently. Again, I'm very curious to see how it's all going to pan out. But I also do think that Texas's defense, like last year, slow start, got punched in the mouth in that first game, and then really got it going and became the dominant unit on this team. And I think this could be an opportunity for them to, in that season to really kind of come out and prove that they should be the dominant unit of this team.
Yeah.
I would say.
Okay. Now looking at the head coach position, you know, you have Tom Herman, you have Clay Helton. Both of them are on warm seats. We'll say they're not on the hot seat yet, but they're on warm seats.
Yeah. Too early.
A loss for either of these programs, does that put either coach in the hot seat now?
No. I mean, I think right now the biggest issue Tom Herman has is just a restless fan base. And I thought it was interesting. You guys may have heard about it throughout the week, but earlier in the week at the press conference, Tom Herman was asked about, hey, look, there's clearly a section of the fan base that thinks you're arrogant, thinks you make excuses for poor play. Mm-hmm. And that's one thing that I do think is interesting is he was such a I never know what we can say or what we can't say on this air. He was such a hard A with his players, and then now it's when they're this season when they're not doing well. It's honestly, I was too hard on him. They need to just have fun. So it's like, where? Okay, all right, dude. Like, figure out where you stand. But he was asked about that. What would you have to say about these fans who now are doubting you, think you're arrogant, think you're making excuses? And you know, he gave the answer of, look, I love our fans. Our fans are passionate. Mac Brown told me this position can be the best position because you have such a great fan base, and it can also be the worst job in America because of that reason. So, mm-hmm. you know, basically saying I knew coming in that it's, you know, it's not always going to be smooth sailing. There's going to be some rough seas here. Didn't really answer the question, like head on. I think he kind of answered it in his own way.
As he tends to do.
He's not going to be on the hot seat, though, I think, if they lose this weekend. And again, it's still the second year. I just think you have a lot of people who are now starting to doubt you. And mm-hmm. I think that doubt is only going to increase the more your team loses or just has really bad wins even.
Yeah. And I think that's the thing, bad wins. You look at last week with Tulsa, that was a bad win.
I know, and the part of me is just like, I don't know if, you know, some people are going to say, are going to look at it more critically. Some people are going to say, a win is a win. I don't care who it is, whatever. And maybe you can go that route.
Well, I think at this point for Texas, a win is a win. But you look at Tulsa, and are you excited after that? Are you excited after that win last night? I mean, it came down to be a very close game, especially at the end there. And is that a victory for the program? You know, I mean, again, at this point for Texas, I think a win is a win.
Yeah.
They need to win today. They need to come off the field victorious against USC.
Yeah.
I think that would be, no matter what team SC puts on the field, if Texas wins, I think that's going to be a morale booster for their entire program.
For sure. And I mean, that's honestly the biggest thing they need right now, whether it is a complete game, whether it's a clean game, whether it's a dominant win. They just need to win to get a win over a team like or a program that has the name like a USC.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's definitely what they need. That being said, specifically, again, I hope that the defense can come out here and prove that they are the stout defense that we think they are. Again,
yeah.
Of course, these guys lost a lot to the NFL. I understand that, but they do have a lot of talent coming back. Texas is going to have to run the ball.
You know what? You mentioned losing a lot of talent to the NFL, but then you look at programs like Alabama, and I know Alabama is
apples and oranges. You were talking about Alabama and Texas.
I know,
come
but
on.
I'm just
you're
saying,
giving them way too much credit.
No, I'm not comparing Alabama to UT, but I'm saying when you look at how many people Alabama loses year after year to the NFL, and they are still the top program in the nation year after year, they got the shark teeth coming in. They just are filling those holes through their great recruiting. And so you can't use that as an excuse of, oh, we lost a lot of people to the NFL. Well, who's coming in to fill those positions? This isn't a new thing. Every year you lose people
to the NFL. Yeah, true, but also this is only a second season. It takes time to recruit and get your people in, blah, 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 whatever. I see what you're saying, but I just think
excuses.
All right, you're fine.
We talked last week about not having grit, about one of Texas's big flaws is that they don't have a player who's really come out and taken a leadership role, and they haven't grabbed the bull by the horns and really, you know, stood up and they don't have that grit. And I was reading about JT Daniels, the Trojans quarterback. Again, the Trojans 17-year-old quarterback. And he had a really great quote, and he just said that he said, super honored that Coach Helton gave me the privilege to take ownership of this team, but it still goes back to, I still have a lot of work to do, haven't played a game yet. And that was obviously a preseason quote when he was named the starting quarterback in the game against UNLV. But I respected that, where he was like, yeah, I'm honored to lead this team. And he looks at it as a leadership role, mm-hmm. but he knows he has a lot of work to do still. And he seems to be very mature, and I think it could come down to grit in this game. You know, Daniels could have the grit to be a leader and to pull his team out if they get down early in the game. And UT may not have that if they start losing.
Well, and if you're USC, that you have to have that as you're playing in Austin. You've got to have a little bit of that to pull off a win on the road, especially when you're, you know, again, you're not the same team mm-hmm. that you were a year ago. However, we did have a texter texting in that said USC has way better talent than Maryland and Tulsa. And look, we know that.
Yeah.
We definitely know that. Again, though, I think I'm not making excuses for Texas. I promise you that. I am going to be the furthest person to do that. I'm just saying we are still waiting to see what the Texas team can actually do. Does it sound like I'm making excuses? Because I don't want it to sound like
that. No, I get what you're saying.
I don't. I just...
They haven't proved who they could be.
Right. And I'm wondering if that will ever happen. Will we see it today, though?
Yeah.
Maybe, because they haven't gone up against a much better talented team like a USC. So mm-hmm. I'm curious to see what they play like against good teams.
Yeah.
Because, again, Maryland, Tulsa, I feel like that's very hard to judge. And, yeah, they played pretty, you know, you get a narrow win over Tulsa, sloppy loss to Maryland. So, yeah, it looks bad. It looks like garbage, honestly. But I'm just curious to see what they look like against a better team.
Well, and that's going to be the question, is what team is USC going to put out on the field today? Is it going to be a better team? Is it going to be a good team? And is Texas going to rise up to meet that, like you said earlier in this segment? Are they going to rise up to their competition? Or is SC not going to field a great team and be super competitive for them today?
Yeah, we'll see. We got a lot of texts in. I think we should get to those soon. But we were going to go ahead and take a quick break right now. You're listening to Our Take on the Horn.
I I like the jams welcoming us back in. You're listening to Our Take here on the Horn, and the rain has started to fall in Austin.
Ooh.
Is this
I love the rain.
Tears of UT fans prematurely?
That's all I got. I know. You know what? I'm going to let you just roll on.
Thanks. You know what? I have talked so much smack, and if SC puts on an embarrassing performance today.
You'll eat crow, though.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm going to eat
You'll stand by what you say.
Yeah.
I think it's better to be like that than to be like, honestly, my team's like,
you
got to
support
awful.
Through thick and thin, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Because then in order to enjoy the victories, you have to be there for the losses. You have to go through the pain.
Speaking of pain, my alma mater, whew, it's bad. But yeah, I still love them through and through, when they're bad. But
like a good fan,
you will admit when they're bad.
Yep.
That's all, you know. I think last week I said I was a little too harsh when I was like, I will bash Tech, you know, any day of the week. And what I meant by that was just when they're bad, I will admit that they're bad and I will be upset about it.
You're an honest
fan.
But
I still love them.
Yes.
All right, moving on.
Okay, we're going to get to the text line, but just a reminder, you can join the conversation. Let us know your thoughts on college football today. What game are you looking forward to? Any predictions for the USC-UT game? Specs text line 512-337-3776. And we are also still streaming live on our Instagram page at This Is Our Take. So join the video, see what goes on behind the scenes. It's riveting, really.
Let's get to the text line. One texter says, Tom Herman is being punished by a lot of Texas fans for the 8 seasons of terrible Texas football. Maybe, but
no.
I still don't think that means, like, this team could be absolute garbage.
I think fans are tired of losing.
Sure.
And they're tired of not having a winning season, a winning program. But you have... Tom Herman, he needs to win, and
yeah,
I think that's it. So
totally,
yes, I think collectively, fans are exhausted. They're tired of not winning, but I don't think that they're putting all that on Herman.
Yeah, and even if so, I mean, Herman knows that coming into it. And again, like we had talked about before, I don't think he's worried about it, as he shouldn't be, because he's got to focus on actually, you know,
yeah,
producing a winning team. Another texter says, oh, this one from California, Jill, your people.
Yeah.
If Texas wins by 10 plus or 10 and the fans, is that 10 plus? 10 plus. The fans and the team needs to not treat it as a big win. Okay, this is what I really wanted to get to with this text. This game kind of reminds me of the last Notre Dame game, and we all remember what happened the rest of the season. We had another text about there's really no such thing as signature wins.
Mm-hmm.
Gosh, of course, I can't find that one. I don't know where it went. But I do think that is interesting. And the reason why is because, I don't know. Do you think that there's not signature wins? I feel like there still can be, but not... I feel like there can be big wins, but not, you know, season-altering, brand-altering wins. Especially when you've been... average for nearly a decade.
Yeah, I think there's definitely signature wins. I think there's, when you look at a schedule at the beginning of the year, there are those games that you mark that those are signature wins, and I think those are important to a program. Again, just even from a morale standpoint for your own program, you know, inside that locker room.
Yeah.
I think you can only have one signature win, though, because I feel like a signature win is when your program starts to turn that corner, like the moment where, okay, we're here, and we're ready to move forward.
Okay, I could see that. I got you there, Dylan. Yeah, and so maybe that isn't this game. You know, I mean, you look at their schedule, they're going to play better teams than USC. And it's so funny. Maybe it's because of the history of these two programs that this game has been so hyped up, but it really isn't one of the marquee matchups for the college football season. You know, I think it's the history here and the storied history that these two programs have going back to 2006. I'm trying to do math in my head, 12 years ago.
It's too rough. Another texter, according to Herman, quote unquote, momentum is only an illusion. WTF.
Yeah,
I don't know what I don't know what he was talking about there. Oh, here's the finally. All right, I found the text I was looking for. Signature wins don't mean what they used to at Texas. Look at Charlie's wins against Oklahoma and Notre Dame. But I get your point. Herman just needs to win. Is there such a thing as signature losses? Because you're leaving Kansas out there. I feel like that, if anything, that's a good measurement of where your team is. Well, and I think it's, if anything, it's good measuring, like a good barometer to find out where you are. But do you call it a signature win? I don't know. I think that's up for debate.
Yeah.
Whether those really do exist at Texas or not. I think.
If you're looking
at
turning points for your program, good then yes, I think there's signature wins and losses. If you're looking at, like I said, where the program's changing. But we got another text in that says signature wins happen in retrospect. Once that happens and things change, you look back and say that was a signature win.
Yeah, that's a good way to look at it. I think that goes along with my point that I made as well.
So to your point and to this texter's point, there are signature losses then too. There are those games too where you look at a program and you say, that's when we really started going downhill. That loss was it. Looking back on this game, I don't think it's going to be a major turning point in the Longhorn season, but
no,
they do need to win. Like they need to start picking up that momentum.
Like you said, they need morale. And I think at this point, and based on what the teams look like, I just think this is a good barometer. I think it's a good measuring stick to see how you, again, going back to what I said, I think it's going to be interesting to see how Texas plays against better talented, more talented teams.
Yeah, and I hope that's a game where I hope SC brings that talent today. We got some other good texts in. Herman is supposed to be a great offensive mind, but Texas's offense looks like a junior high team. Another one just came in. We as fans are exhausted. Exhausted in the fact that it's the same issues with each team over the last 10 years. A lack of intensity, quote-unquote culture, sense of urgency, fundamentals, and strength and conditioning. I think the last generation of players forgot what it means to be a Longhorn.
Yeah, totally. Again, that goes back to what we said last week. Mm-hmm. The Longhorns are the Cowboys. So,
yeah.
Millennials don't really know a winning Cowboys program, a true winning Cowboys program, other than what their parents have told them about. And I think that's what
history.
I think that's what Longhorn fans are dealing with right now. So I totally understand the exhaustion from fans and the fatigue and the tired of. And if you guys are tired of hearing, you know, like this one texter who said WTF to what Herman said, a lot of us are. I mean, and again, he's trying to control the message and put out a positive message, but. Another thing that I just can't help but just kind of shake my head at is what I've alluded to when, you know, he came in as after he was hired for Charlie Strong and kind of gave a shot to him, and not kind of, he did have a shot to Charlie Strong where he was like, well, the definition of insanity is thinking that you can do the same thing over and over and expect a different result. That was definitely a shot at Charlie Strong. So he comes in here saying, we're going to work hard, we're going to blah, 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 you know. Nose to the grindstone, acting like he's going to be so hard on these guys.
Yeah.
And he, I think he was in that first training camp. There were a lot of reports saying the guys were physically exhausted, whatever. And then this year, for some reason, as Texas gets down, you look at the Maryland game, you look at the Tulsa game too, both times in his post-game press conferences, at one point there was a turning point, and he would say, honestly, I think I was very hard on them at halftime, and so they came out flat, and I think I just need to remember to let them loose and, like, let them have fun. And, like, okay, hold on.
Yeah.
Because I feel like there is this fine balance of pushing your players and trying to get the most out of them and trying to motivate them and then, you know, being so easy on them that it just kind of gives him an excuse to I don't know. I'm trying to figure out where he is by that. Like,
yeah.
He's singing a totally different tune here.
And you mentioned the reports from his first camp of, you know, the players are physically exhausted and whatnot. You have to get out of that comfort zone for there to be change, right? So the players are physically exhausted because they needed someone to come in and be hard on them and drive them hard. And they had to get used to being out of their comfort zone. And he was doing that initially. And then maybe there was some pushback, but now they're back in their comfort zone.
Yeah.
And their comfort zone is losing. And so Herman needs to stay hard on them and push them out of that comfort zone and toughen them up a little bit, train them up. And maybe that's when the wins start coming. But,
well, and it's interesting that you said, sorry.
That's it. I think Herman's let the program. He came in with this hard mentality and he was going to push them and drive them. And the minute there was any pushback, he went soft again.
Yeah. I honestly feel like, at least from what he's told us, it sounds like he's either being soft on them, and maybe he's not being soft on them. It's just what he's saying, or goes back to him just making. It sounds like excuses. It really does, and especially again when he came in, he said you get numb to losing, and I think Texas is numb to losing, and we don't need that. Like that's absolutely the worst thing that you could do, because then that is what you start expecting, accepting. So I again, I don't want to bash anyone, but I have to say I have the biggest eye roll every time I hear a post-game press conference or a Monday press conference now. It just, the things that he's saying, I'm like, hold on. Are you holding these people accountable?
Yeah.
Because what you're telling us is it doesn't sound like it, but I don't know. I have no idea what's going on with Texas and why it's been like this for so long and why it can't turn around. Or not that it can't, but why hasn't it yet?
Yeah. We're going to take a quick break, but we did just get a good text in. Texas fans are okay with losses, but we're not okay with playing uninspired and sloppy, and we're not okay with coaches who make excuses and don't fix obvious issues.
There you go.
On that, we're going to take a quick break. We'll continue this discussion afterwards. You're listening to Our Take on the Horn. Welcome back to Our Take on the Horn. If you missed the first few segments, we had we've been having a very spirited discussion, breaking down the current state of the Longhorns program, looking ahead to the game tonight against USC, and is this going to be a defining moment for this program or not? We've gotten a lot of great texts, and we're going to get to them right now. But just a reminder, join the conversation. Let us know your thoughts ahead of tonight's game. 512-337-3776. Some that we've gotten in during the break. Good coaches win national titles early. Bob Stoops in his second year. Urban Meyer his third year. Nick Saban his third year. We had a discussion about this during the break. I think a lot of that also has to do with the program that you inherit.
I do think
I think that's a two-way street there. But I agree. Good coaches know how to come in and work with what they've got and get wins.
Yeah, and another texter says, preach. He's not Nick Saban or Bill Belichick. You can't try to develop the standoffish cult of personality with the media if you're not great.
Yeah.
So
Most people have earned the right to be that way.
Somebody else texted in going on the note of exhaustion and fatigue. Herman mansplains football way too much. Dude, we're Texas football fans. We're not novices to this thing, which, again, I totally understand that. And I think sometimes he comes off very insulting.
Yeah.
Whether it's mansplaining football or just feeding us a load of crap, again, with the dramatic pauses and the dramatic answers. And after Tulsa, his post-game press conference, and he's like, what I was so proud of was that we fought back in the fourth quarter and to get that win. Yeah,
you should have had to fight back in the fourth quarter.
You should have
had your third string guys in the fourth quarter.
They were great. They had a great first half. Why didn't they keep that going? And he said it's because he was too hard on them at halftime. That's why they came out flat in the third.
We talked about this last week, and we actually were talking about it during the break of just the mentality, I think, of this generation of kids that are now college football players. And I think as a whole, they are so soft. And if you want to go play at the next level, you think that, I know you already brought him up, but Bill Belichick, you think he's going to take it easy on you when you go play for the Patriots? Because that's not going to happen. So you're not going to get your star trophy for playing in the game.
As much as I do think there is a sense of entitlement with the younger generation, I don't think I think we put a little too much on that because, again, it starts at the top. Mm-hmm. You are the example.
Yeah.
You set the tone. And if you're recruiting guys, you need to make sure that you recruit. Because there are kids out there who are young and who are not entitled. And again, I understand it's the society we live in, but I guarantee you every older generation always looks at the younger generation and says they're entitled, they don't appreciate anything. That is just, that's every generation, I feel like. Yes, there is this, it's a little heightened, I do think, with some of these younger kids. But again, you can't just blame it on, well, it's a generational thing. These kids are, that's what, you know, everything's handed to them. You talk about the participation trophies, and yes, that is there. That is a problem. But when you have a chance to recruit specific players to your program, you're recruiting specific personalities, types, and if you are training them, it starts with you.
Yeah.
You can totally, I mean, look at the way, it's like with parenting. I mean, you are a product of how your parents have parented you.
Oh, gosh. Sorry, Mom and Dad.
And they have made you a very hard worker. And you want to talk about grit. I'm going to brag on you. Your parents have done an amazing job.
Thank
Jill, you are
okay.
not entitled.
Let's
and I know you're very uncomfortable
football.
Right
yes.
now. But anyways, I think we don't need to let that be an excuse for whether it's Herman or other coaches who are having this troubling, you know, good coaches find a way to mold these players.
Yeah.
I think that Exclamation point. That's it. That's all I got for you.
Point over. We got a text in that said, you do realize that this program is only in its second season. Can we give him a chance to turn it around before we blast him on game day?
I don't know.
I think Herman's had chances.
Well, I think when you say certain things and you set the expectation and the promises and then you don't deliver, then yeah, the people are going to be upset about it.
So it's not that we're blasting him. It's more that you're holding him accountable.
I just don't like how he's changed his tone this season.
But that's
so
what I mean.
Far.
You're holding him accountable to what he said previously.
Yeah.
Another text. Herman looks like a deer in the headlights all the time. He's in way over his head. As a diehard A&M fan, I hope he's at UT forever.
We got another text about A&M. I do this every time. If Jimbo Fisher starts having success at A&M early, the heat on Herman will increase tenfold. UT fans will not stand for losing recruits to their little sister to the north.
Yeah, I agree.
I thought College Station was south of Austin.
I do not know.
You wouldn't know.
I have no clue.
All right. Okay.
I'm just agreeing and taking that texter's word for their direction. Okay, I'm going to change gears a little bit because we'll let Tom Herman go on the bashing.
Guys, so many good texts. Thanks for texting in.
Yes.
So good.
We got another one. Also, way to criticize the coach and not the players. All accountability comes back to Herman.
Starts at the top.
Yeah. And with the players, though, I think there still needs to be a player who stands up and takes the reins on
too.
The field.
I do, too. I still think they don't have, like, a field general. They don't have a game changer, and that's what they honestly need.
But do you think that also goes back, then, to the coaching staff of them not appointing a game changer? Not you can't appoint that, but
no,
of them not,
I think,
like,
that's a
molding
personality,
someone?
I think that's a personality thing. You got to bring in a guy like that.
All right. Well, I don't know. Either way, I hope it's a good game. It's raining right now. I hope the rain holds off. I don't want it to rain on my tailgate parade either. So I'm kind of hoping this dies down and we get a good game in tonight. Again, after the game, we have the Canelo and Triple G fight, which I'm very excited for. I don't know who I'm rooting for in that. I just want to see
people bash the crap out of each other.
Yeah,
that's
all. So also, we got MLB playoffs kicking in here soon. I know it's final homestands for a lot of teams, Astros fans, my Dodgers. I'm really hoping that they get it together. It would be mortifying if we don't make it to the postseason.
Yeah.
Someone texted in, Brewers and Dodgers would be a great NL wildcard game. It'd be great.
Be awesome. I don't know which way I would go, though. That would, like, break my little heart either way.
I love the Brewers. I'm pulling for them.
Yes, yes. And I guess it's a win-win, right? You know,
either
way.
It is really coming down out there. Stay dry out there tonight, you guys.
Yes,
I will
is.
Be dry in the studio. Watch us on KVU. Text the tailgaters at 6:30. That's all I got for you. Is this a USC fight song?
It is.
I figured. I knew it was going to happen. By the way, Jill and her parents are all wearing USC stuff right now. I don't have a dog in this fight, so I'm allowing it.
I have a dog, and it's a bulldog. All right, we got one final text in. UT 24, USC 13. USC, unimpressive, sent crying.
Oh.
We'll see. We will see. This could be an interesting show next week.
And then we'll see later if Texas does win, just how big of a win it was, depending on how USC plays the rest of the season.
Yep.
Like Notre Dame.
Yeah.
A few years ago.
It'll be a good one. All right. That's all we got for you today.
We need more time.
On behalf of KVU's Stacey Slayton, our man Dylan behind the glass, I'm Jill Kasich. Whether you loved it, whether you hated it, this was our take.